Well, it's Wednesday night. Hardcore is here. Every time I try and prepare a message for tonight, you know, you open all these different nice places to turn and start trying to do that, and it just didn't take very long to find out, no. Well, how about this over here? No. Well, what about that? And I think what he wants to do is just talk to you tonight. So I'm going to do my best to disengage my brain and let him speak. And just what I do know, I'm going to share with you. And in order to do this, knowing that whether you're sitting here or whether you've are in the audience around the world, whether you're in the family around the world, I'm going to take it tonight as though you know about things like Chuck the Duck. I'm not going to try and teach those things because we're going to elaborate on those things. Now, the phrase I kept hearing in my spirit, this is the year of liftoff. We're coming to liftoff. That's another way of saying revival. And see, for years, most of us were, even though we were born again, most of us grew up eating chicken food in the churches that we grew up in. And they were telling us things that really belonged to a different species. They were teaching us Old Testament salvation, that we were just the same old sinner, just forgiven now. And so that kept us in the chicken pen. And it kept us away from the water, and it sure kept us away from flying. And most of us were just glad to be saved at all. And knowing there wasn't much room to walk any different than we were walking, and just trying to make heaven now, and trying to be a good person along the way. And so we had a steady diet of chicken food. Well, somehow or another, the Lord put a hook in your jaw and either brought you to this building, or he brought you to this message, or he brought you by way of internet or by way of CD, or somehow he said, you're a duck, and it's time you started eating some duck food. So thank God we've been swallowing the born-again trail. We started finding out that we really are new creatures in Christ Jesus. We started finding out we're not really a Gentile or a Jew. No matter what you were before, when you got saved, out of those two groups, God made one new man. You're a species of God. There's no other way to say it. You're the offspring of God, wearing a body that's from Adam still, but that body has lost its power over you, no matter what they teach the chickens. We learned how to worship a little bit in spirit, and really more than a little bit. But it says, those that worship God in spirit and in truth. Well, what's that in truth part? And the way the Lord brought it through Dave to us was the Chuck the Duck. See, for years we've been learning really who we are, as the Spirit shows us, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. It says, no, you're not a child of Adam anymore. Look, Jesus, the Son of God, you're a child of God. No, Jesus was not bound by sin. You're not bound by sin. All of these things, on and on and on. But see, where he's bringing us to now, to worship him in spirit is one thing, but to worship him in truth, the example he gave from Chuck the Duck, now come on, Chuck, flap your wings like me. Come on, get on the water. Come on, flap your wings. What I can do, what I do, you can do. Come on. Worship him in truth is when suddenly one day we lift off. We're no longer bound by the physics of this world. And that's where the same, just exactly what Jesus said, the works that I do shall you do also, and greater than these shall you do. We're headed for lift off, people. We're about to, how many can feel the flapping? We've been eating and eating and eating, and that's good. You have to. It's a complete identity change. We tell that little story in 10 minutes, but it's a complete identity change. I'm not a chicken. My whole life I was told I was a chicken. I was told to stay away from the water. Chickens drown there, you know. And they told me for sure I couldn't fly. Well, we've been going through an identity change for quite a while now. But that identity change is coming close to harvest, coming close to fruition. And something else is starting to happen now. I don't know whether you were able to hear the 8:30 service that Tim did, Tim Stemple, Sunday morning. If you didn't, it's at daveroberson.org now, and I'm sure it's probably at ictus.net now. And it's just called Make Disciples, I believe, or Be a Disciple. And I'm telling you, sometimes, let me finish this thought. What's happening now, the mind of Christ, he's orchestrating through Dave, through Tim, through Alan, through Gary, through Mark, whoever it is. Because I got a missing piece of the puzzle Sunday. Just hearing a truth said that a different way, I haven't been able to get away from it all week. And I put that together with one that I got from Alan a week or two ago. What I'm saying is this: look, there's no reason for me to encourage you to hear all these messages. It's not like we're making tons of money off of you hearing the messages or anything. There's no incentive in it, except you need them. And if it's not going to do anymore. Ring, ring, ring. Who's teaching tonight? God. Holy Ghost will be teaching. Come on. Get yourself down here. Now, just for example, Tim, let's look at something now. Go to Ephesians somewhere. It's all good. Just pick somewhere. No. I want to show you something that Tim did Sunday. Ephesians 4. And then make a sandwich out of this and open up to John 8. Ephesians 4 and John 8. This is what Tim did Sunday. I've been meditating on this ever since. I'm telling you, it's a real key for liftoff. Now, I'm not interested in Sunday school messages. I'm not interested in your quarterly. I'm not interested in your program. I'm interested in liftoff. Do you hear me? Liftoff. That's what I'm interested in. Once we lift off, honey, you think you're going to make that duck sit still anymore? You going to keep that duck on the ground? That duck is going to fly. We're all going to fly. Now see, in Ephesians 4, let's talk about truth for a minute. This is what Tim did. He said, I want you to look at Ephesians 4:21. It's the starting verse 20. But you have not so learned Christ, if so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus. You get that? Where's the truth? No wonder he said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. So we know for sure the truth is in Jesus. We could go to John chapter 1 where it says, for the law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. But for right now, just keep that in mind. Where the truth is where? It's in Jesus. Now go to John 8. Look at verse 44. Jesus talking to the religious folks. And he says, you are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father he will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth. Why? Because there is no truth in him. See, the truth is in Jesus. But there is no truth in the devil. Now, I've been thinking about that. Been thinking about that ever since Sunday. You know the devil can quote scripture? See, this isn't saying he doesn't know the truth. What I mean by that, it's not saying he doesn't know the Bible. I'll tell you, in my lifetime, the single man that did me the most harm spiritually was one of my college professors. This man had an intellect that's just massive, you know, just a He had a mainframe for a brain. He had memorized whole passages. And I mean, he liked to show off. He'd have you follow along in your Bible. He'd just quote from the King James chapter after chapter after chapter. He knew the Word of God. That man was an atheist. He did not know the God of the Word. That's kind of like the devil. See, the devil's quoting scripture to Jesus, trying to get him to do stuff. You know, well, jump off, the angels will bear you up in their hands, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Well, he's misquoting from the Psalms. But he knows the scripture. He knows chapter and verse. Any of you ever have the devil quote chapter and verse to you? He has to me. But he does not have the truth in him. And Tim said, that's our problem. We've been learning the truth out of Ephesians and the Word of God. Let's just take Ephesians, because we especially did a nice introduction, the Lord said, last year. Heard a lot on Ephesians. I know a lot of the truth. I know a lot of the truth. I can quote a lot of it. Gary, can you walk in it? Not all of it that I want to. See, if we're walking in it, it says we're seated above. Not only above, far above. All principality, power, might, and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. Now, if you're lift off and walking in that, what happens in the hospital when you go pray? If you've come in the name that is above every name, is not cancer a name? Is not arthritis a name? Is not every pneumonia, everything, whatever it is? How about birth defects? The name of Jesus healed the birth defects. The man that was born lame from his mother's womb at the gate, beautiful. Peter said it's that name, through faith in that name, that has made this man whole. Well, we've been seated in the same place Peter was. Seated with Christ in heavenly places far above. Now, to have that knowledge is one thing. Now we're talking about there's a difference between having the knowledge and having that truth in me. See, Jesus had the truth in him. We have got to have the truth in us, no matter what it takes. Well, then Tim went on to talk about the present hour speaking of the Holy Ghost. And what he means by that is instruction that's been coming already this year by way of the Holy Spirit, where he gives you instruction. He says, do this. Go to Hebrews 12. See, I've been meditating Ephesians still. Sometimes I think my brain is just going to roll out on the floor if I read that book one more time. Read it again. Pray in the Holy Ghost and read it again. So now I've been reading that part over again about put on the whole armor of God. And who we're really wrestling against is not flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, and against spiritual wickedness in high places. We know that's in there. But now he's having me meditate it from the viewpoint of Jesus. See, because in Hebrews 12 here it says, verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. And what's interesting about that comes right after chapter 11. Which lists all the heroes of faith from the Old Testament. I mean, there's a bunch of them. Noah, Abraham, Sarah, David, Solomon. I don't have them in sequence. Moses, Samson, Jephthah, Barak, on and on and on. And many more, it says. And all of those people obtained a good report through faith, but none of them received the promise. God having some better thing in mind for us, that they without us should be made perfect. But then he comes into chapter 12, and now he's switching from that covenant. They all did good with the faith they had and the word of God that they had. But we are in a better covenant, established upon better promises. And although we can learn a few things by looking at them, they are not our pattern. We have one pattern, and that's Jesus. So now I'm going, okay, now if we're to war against principalities and powers and rulers of darkness, isn't it going to be the same kind of war that he waged? See, because on the day he was baptized by John in the River Jordan, that was coronation day, whether you know it or not. Even though he wouldn't go to the cross for another about 3 years, the day that he was baptized by John, the Holy Spirit descended upon him and a voice came out of heaven saying, "This is my Son, in whom I'm well pleased." When he went under the water, that was like a vow before God going, before the Father going, "I know why I'm here. I was born to die. This is a vow. I'm making a vow to you. I'm going to go all the way to death. I'm going to do it." When he lays me under the water, that's what that's symbolic of. "But Father, I'm trusting in you not to leave my soul in hell. Neither will my flesh see corruption. I'm trusting you to raise me up on that third day." Now, when he did that, that was, he didn't die for his own sins. He died as the substitute for Adam. So when he did that vow in heaven, God like received it as done. He says, "That's it. I receive it. From this day on, you're my son." And the Holy Ghost come and anointed him with dominion, like the Holy Ghost originally anointed the first Adam with dominion. And boy, it's on now. Well, how did he war against principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness of this world? Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. So here he comes, him and his 12, and they're coming into a town. They're coming into, they said they're going from village to village to village, preaching and demonstrating the kingdom of God, right? Well, here they come. There's warfare about to happen. There's principalities and powers. What have they been doing? Well, you've got sick and halt and lame and blind and birth defects and all kinds of damnable things that are a result of the fall. And here comes Jesus going, "That is not my Father's will. I've come to do warfare." If they were possessed by devils, he'd cast them out. They were born with a birth defect, he'd heal it. There was nothing too hard. Nothing. And even those that didn't yet have a covenant with God, if they persisted, even they could receive based on the promise of what was coming. Warfare against principalities and powers, even if it wasn't possessed by a devil, all of that stuff is a result of the fall. Genetic DNA problems, mental problems, all of that stuff is a product of the fall. It's all, none of it's of God. That's why we're also going to have a revival in the mental hospitals. It's either a devil or a disease. That's all. It's one or the other. Or some kind of mental thing. Maybe they weren't born with a full brain. So what? Our God still's in the business of making them. What is this warfare against principalities and powers? Jesus didn't really have any trouble with devils. He might resist a little bit. That one, you know, it threw him on the... It said he... That lunatic boy, you know, it said he foamed at the mouth and frothed on the floor a little bit. But it came out. Jesus didn't really have any trouble. What about storms? Well, here comes the devil. I'm going to huff it. I'm going to puff it. I'm going to blow your ship down. Peace, be still. That was the end of that. Peace, be still. The works that I do. Okay? He didn't have any trouble with those things. You know he had trouble with more than anything else? Who was it gave him trouble everywhere he went? It's those spiritual wickedness in the church. It's chicken food served up by chicken preachers. And they're coming after you too. I'm telling you, that's where the real trouble is. It's where it's going to be too. And it's going to be the politicians. You stand up and call sin, sin in today's world, it's already not politically correct. That's probably going to get more so as time goes on. Well, I got news for you. They can't take your life till you're ready. Paul said, "Well, I'm caught in between two. I don't know whether to go, whether to stay. For me to go, to depart and be with the Lord would be far better. But I see it's more needful that I stay and remain with you, so I guess I'll stay for a while, you know." And then he knew when it was time, you know, 2 Timothy, he knew he was going. We're coming into a time of liftoff. And if I knew exactly what to tell you to do to go from where you are, and I'm talking to Gary too, I'd like to, how many of you'd like to step over into this before the end of the service? Well, me too. I want to lift off. I want to lift off now, see? How many of you think God wants that worse than you do? But see, he's looking at us and he knows what's required and we don't. He knows where we really are and we don't. And that's why Tim went on with his message Sunday morning at 8:30. And if you haven't heard it, I really suggest you hear it. Start going through what we call the present hour speaking of the Lord. It's the prophecies. It's the instructions that are coming forward during this time. Well, isn't that the Holy? Isn't he the one that's been sent to guide us into all truth? So if an instruction comes, now those are coming corporately. Those are instructions like corporately to all of us. And we should take heed to what he says. But if you're doing this message, and that includes the whole message, you know, meditation of the word, praying in other tongues, worship and fasting and doing the whole thing, you reckon he might have maybe just a tiny little small correction or instruction for you personally? See, because right here in the same chapter, Hebrews 12, right after he talks about looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, and he says, now look at him, no matter how bad it got, he didn't quit. He says, now you haven't resisted yet unto blood, striving against sin. He didn't quit either, did he? But right after that, then he starts talking about what needs to happen. So he says, verse 5, you've forgotten the exhortation which speaks unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens, and he scourges every son whom he receiveth. It's plain English. Why would a father chasten you? I'm going to tell you again about my granddaughter Lily. Most of you have seen her. The light of grandpappy's eye. I mean, you know, my little 2-year-old granddaughter Lily. And we were sitting on the porch. I was sitting on the porch. This was a few months ago. It's good weather. And we have a little flower bed there with some little shiny rocks in it. She was just exploring those little shiny rocks, man. She was just showing them to Papa. Yeah, that's pretty. Oh, yeah, that's a pretty one, too. Everything was just fine. Sitting on the front porch. Suddenly, for no reason that I know even to this hour, she just looked at me and grinned, the biggest old grin, turned and ran for the street as fast as she could go, where there's traffic. First, Papa don't move as quick as Papa used to move. It took me a moment. I'm stunned. I'm going, ah! There she's going, them little legs, booking it for the road, you know. I come off of that porch, jumped with one leap. I can't normally, but right over the flower bed, like a gazelle. Anyway, that's the way I think it was in my head. Now, I don't know how it really looked, but in my head, it was like slow motion. And anyway, I barely got to her before she reached the curb. She's 2 years old. I grabbed her by her left arm, lifted her up about chest high, and swatting her rear on the way back to the porch. Don't you ever! In love all the time. Now, I didn't hurt the kid. Don't write me no letters. But I'm going to tell you, Papa's going to be there to snatch her again the next time she runs for destruction too. She needed some chastening because she's going the wrong way. She can't conceive of the danger. She has no idea that she was putting her life in danger doing what she was doing. And at that point, Pop, love has to override, because Papa does know. Papa knows what we need for liftoff. We think we're going the right direction, you know. We think we're doing all the right things, and he's going, We may not be running towards destruction, but we may be running towards dead ends all the time. He's going, if you keep doing what you're doing, you're going to die in the chicken pen. You're never going to lift off. He says, I need to instruct you. I need to chasten you. One of the words, the very first words that Tim read is in one of the very first ones. He says, I can't quote it exactly. Well, I could, but I don't want to look it up. It said this, every hour that you give to praying in other tongues, the Holy Spirit is tutoring you personally during that hour. Doesn't that make you want to go pray right now? Boy, it does me. You know what I'm going to find when I get there for that hour? That's going to be the most boring hour of my day. See, that's the thing. It's what's really going on is so incredible, but the experience itself, because the understanding is unfruitful during that time, here comes the enemy again. You're wasting your time. You could be doing anything other than this. Why are you wasting another hour just praying in tongues? And the truth of the matter is, your spirit during that hour is sitting in the classroom, like Dave has taught us. The finely dressed gentleman at the chalkboard is none other than the Holy Ghost himself. And he's not taking the role of a teacher during that hour. See, right now, I'm the one speaking and there's many people listening. Right now, I'm a teacher, not a tutor. A tutor comes to your house. And it's just you and the tutor. Now we can zero in on whatever it is that's keeping you from succeeding. Why aren't you lifting off? Not generally now. Personally, I'm not looking at Dave for sure. Get over here and talk to Red. We're cut from the same cloth right here. See, he'll come to you and he's going, now I know, you know, yes, I have instruction. I have instruction, the Holy Ghost says, for all of you. But then if you give him time, he says, now Red, you and I need to talk. See, he says, I know what it is with you personally. And it's that same way with each and every one of us, Steve and Luz and on and on and on. And the instruction he gives me, he's going to chasten me. He's going to correct me. He's going to give me something that may be completely different. See, this is why I don't like preaching that goes, you need to throw out your rock and roll music. Where do you find chapter and verse for that? See? Where do you find stuff like that? Now, in my case, he did take it away from me for many years. I know y'all think I'm too old to have ever been a rocker. I played lead guitar in a rock and roll band in the 60s. Most of y'all don't know that, but I did. In a rock and roll band in the 60s. Now, my brain still remembers where all those notes are. My fingers have forgotten completely. I try and tell them, and anyway, there's no synchronization. But he had to take it away from me. I don't know if he would deal with you that way. It's more than that. See, I'm just talking about things have to do with holiness, which he talks about in that same chapter. And I'll tell you right now, the first ones are going to probably be holiness. How many of you think, in order to lift off, he might want us to quit sinning? I don't sin, Brother Gary. Well, I hope that's true. It is possible not to. I used to wouldn't have believed that, but my Bible tells me it is possible. See, you come right on down. He's talking about this chastening and everything. Let me go ahead and read it, and we'll just read it. Verse 7 again. If you endure chastening. You know what most people do here at the prayer center when they start? You know what we use a different word. We call it an impasse. That's your chastening. You hit one. He goes, you got to stop that. Now, I ain't going to stop that. I don't even want to stop that. You got to stop that. I don't want to stop that. You know what most people do rather than endure the chastening? They leave the church. Now, I'm going to go where they preach, all I got to do is give. And it'll be given unto me, and that's all there is to it. And I want to be rich and go to heaven and live my life the way I want to. Well, you can do that. You'll die in the chicken pen, too. Just love these shouting messages. if you endure chastening, he'll deal with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chastens not? But if you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are you illegitimate and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection? And that's the whole issue. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? Well, are we? I love you, God. I want to lift off. I want to be in revival. I want to do everything. I want to lay hands on the blind eyes and see them open, God. I want it. He says, good, come and pray. Okay, you're going to have to forgive so-and-so. You don't know what they did to me, God. I'm not going to forgive so-and-so. Well, you're not in subjection to the Father of spirits. Or whatever it is that he tells you. But very often it starts off with unforgiveness type things and holiness type things. Let's keep going. You'll see it. Verse 10. For they verily for a few days chastened us, corrected us after their own pleasure. But he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his what? Holiness, see? Holiness. He says a little further down here, without holiness, you're not going to see the Lord. You're just not going to see him. Doesn't mean you're not going to go to heaven. A friend of mine one time was talking about that, and he says, now, the thief made it, you know. The thief on the cross. He didn't have much time to clean up his act, did he? He said, but I don't want to barely make heaven where they hand me the binoculars and I'm in heaven and I adjust the binoculars and you go, I think I see the Lamb. You're way out on the outskirts somewhere, barely come in, you know. I want to see the Lord. I want to be in close fellowship with the Lord. So he says, this chastening obviously has something to do with partaking of his holiness. Well, of course, being, you know, most of us from somewhat of a Pentecostal heritage, we always think first about, well, yes, that smoking and chewing and going with girls that are doing the smoking and chewing. Yeah, that's the stuff he's talking about. You know, that's not the ugliest. You know what God calls ugly? It's when you hate your neighbor. When you hate your neighbor and gossip and slander and those kind of things, really. You know why it's so ugly to go? I mean, it took forever for Dave just to keep teaching it again and again. And you know, and then the Holy Ghost, when I'd pray, to get it across to me, Luke chapter 6, what it's really about. That person that's slapping you across the face and making you go the extra mile and taking away your goods and just treating you terrible, you know? And any of us that we're in that kind of situation, we're always crying out to God that we think we're the ones in trouble. Like we're the ones, oh God, deliver me. They're the ones in trouble. If you're saved in that situation, you're on your way to heaven. That sinner's the one that's in trouble. He's the one God's trying to harvest. But if we're so unconformed to Jesus that we get all offended and now we're praying for the person's destruction or doing something that causes it, well, God's got to look somewhere else. He sure can't use you to reach that guy. You've become useless in the kingdom as far as that guy's concerned. He's got to go get another one now. Hopefully finally find a Dave. I saw it in his office that day. It was good for me to see it years ago. And this guy comes in there just upset. Boy, I mean, just so mad at Dave. I don't even remember what it was about, and it doesn't matter what it was about. But, I mean, this guy, you know, have you ever seen somebody that's so mad they're like 3 inches from your nose and the veins and their neck are bulging and they're red, you know? And I could see little drops of spittle landing on Dave's shirt. Man, that guy's mad. Now, see, where I was raised, in the Baptist church, we handled that a little. Let me just say we handled it. Okay? We'd pray for forgiveness later. And I thank God for the Baptists now. Don't get me wrong now. You know, where would we Pentecostals get our people? Okay? Like Dave says, you know. But we'd handle that. So I'm watching to see how Dave reacts to this. The only thing he said was, "Does this mean you don't like me?" That made the guy even madder yet. You know, and he goes storming out the door. And I mean, it's time. The choir has been singing. It's time to walk out for Dave to do the service. I mean, it's time right now. So I'm watching this. I'm hardly ever back there, but I was glad I was there to see that. As I'm going, okay now. This is a long time ago. I didn't know Dave that well. Well, we'll just see, because I know that incident would affect my preaching. If I came out of there, you'd smell the sulfur and feel the heat from my sermon. You know, hellfire and damnation, boy. I was watching to see how it affected him. He started that service, you would have thought he had just spent an hour in the presence of Jesus himself. You'd have thought he just stepped out of the throne room, that the angels surely bore him here on their wings and dropped him off at the pulpit. It was sweetness and light and love, and I'm going, that guy is further down the road than I am. He's got more of that love of God thing working in him than me, because that's not how I would have reacted. See, Paul said, follow me as I follow the Lord. Well, see, it's okay to follow somebody as they follow the Lord. Still doing it. But now what he's calling us, see, I don't know how Dave got that way. Well, I know partly. He was on this path ahead of us. He's been listening to that chastisement and correction, still listening to it. He shared some things this week that the Lord's still dealing with edges and things. What son is there that does not have chastisement? Well, we're going to have to do the same thing. Now, the real easy way not to ever have to do that, just quit praying. I'm just going to sit here until revival breaks out, then I'm going to jump in and be used. No? Don't think so. You'll be sitting in the grandstands, you know. You get to watch. I don't know. See, I'm looking forward to the day where no one wants to preach here at the prayer center. You know why? You're too busy bringing revival in the country where he sent you to preach. You ever see those wildfires in California? During that windy season, boy, those embers. There's these guys, these valiant fighters, firefighters. They're out there trying to stop the thing. And one of those Santa Ana winds come. And, boy, I saw one of it one time. And I mean, they're trying to put out the fire and keep it from jumping the road. And I mean, it looked like hell had broke loose. I mean, I never saw so many embers blowing across there at 60 miles an hour. And I went, that's revival. When this thing breaks off, When it breaks out and we lift off, is what I'm trying to say. When it really comes, hello, embers. Hello, embers. You think we're going to line up everybody to preach here? You're going to take that fire, take that anointing, let the Holy Ghost blow you where he wants you. Bring revival there, wherever it is. Some God-forsaken place like Florida or somewhere like that. You know? No. Is that where Bronx is? No, I can't be. Hawaii's really. Wherever it is, won't that be something? Say, well, I can't. No, I don't need. Trust me, I have enough to preach where God sent me. See? Is this okay? Well, we're headed for liftoff, but we're not going to get there without Hebrews 12. It's the chastening, it's the instruction. I thank God for this church that I know how to enter into it, to pray in other tongues. That the Holy Spirit becomes my tutor, my personal tutor during those times. And one of the prophecies already that was read by Tim Sunday morning, I really recommend you hear that message. One of the things the Holy Spirit's already said, those that have not been hearing, they're going to start hearing. This year, as you do this. Now, isn't that something? Maybe up till now you've been getting a free pass. But I mean by that, you've been praying and praying, and maybe he's just been real nice to you. But he's always real nice to you. But what I mean is, you're going to start getting your own instructions. And if it was going to be pleasant, this chapter doesn't need to exist. Did you hear that part? No chastisement for the present seems joyous. Have I got that far down yet? Maybe I didn't get that far. Verse 10 again. For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now see, positionally, you've already been given his holiness. In the spirit, it says, in Ephesians, it says, put on the new man, which is created in righteousness and true holiness. But we're not talking right now about your spirit man. We're talking about your conformity to that spirit man. Bringing the soul in subjection to the spirit. See, I'm like everybody else. I like to preach the truth that the law was completed in Jesus and the law has passed away and we're not under the law anymore. We're really not. But you know what the Bible really says? If you be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. If you be led of the Spirit, and that's really, it should be a little less there. He's talking about your new nature. Well, if you be led of the Spirit, you're going to be partaking of his holiness. This chastening is how you come to the place of progressively being led by the new nature. Well, I used to beat them up when they talked to me that way. You can't do that anymore. But I want to beat them up. I've always beat them up. My daddy beat them up. We all beat them up. I'm chastening you. You can't do that and partake of my holiness. I need you to lay down your life for that guy. That guy, God, can't we just kill him and move on to the next one? No, I'm trying to save that guy. I want to flow through you to do it. I need to sue that guy. No. See? Chastisement, correction, partaking of his nature. If you be led of the new nature, you're not under the law. The law was not made for a, do y'all know it? A righteous man. In your spirit, you're righteous. But bringing the soul in subjection to that righteous man sometimes is a real job. Well, that's the job that we're in right now. Okay. Verse 11. Now, no chastening for the present seems to be joyous, but grievous. Anyone ever pray in tongues and felt worse? Did you know that was in your Bible the whole time? Because what's happening while you pray in tongues, he takes that searchlight and he's going around in the attic of your soul. And he's throwing the light on stuff that even you didn't know was in there. Time out. See, I thought that if I ever, you know, I told y'all I smoked for eternity in 3 days. Smoked forever. I didn't think I was ever going to get free from it. And to be honest, way down deep, I think I thought, that's the worst one. If I ever get rid of that, it's probably liftoff time. What I thought was that was the worst thing in Gary. Well, I've been free from it now for years, and I hate to report this part. As I continued to pray and the searchlight kept shining, there's stuff in the attic way worse than that. What kind of stuff? None, yeah? I'm not asking about your stuff, but ego type things, how dare you type things, selfish type things that are just exactly the opposite of the nature of Christ, and where I'm still having to yield. And he'll give you projects to help you. That's what I'm talking about. He'll give you projects to help you. I was telling him Sunday night about, I don't know how in the world he's able to do that in the early days. A person that, in my mind, was really an enemy to me and was doing my family harm. So you know what the Lord's... So, you know... What we want is, like the sons of thunder, shall we pray fire from heaven to come down and consume them? He says, you know not what spirit you're of. You know, that's what I wanted. I was going, God, that person is doing my family a lot of harm. And he was a preacher. Shall I pray fire come down from heaven? Maybe not consume him, but just make him dance a little bit. You know, a little lightning. Pow! Straighten him up. You know what my assignment was? You hear from heaven, you know. I want you to give him your pickup. I went, what pickup? I only had one. Now, I was raised my whole life around construction. Gary Carpenter has always had a pickup. Big part of my identity in those days was a pickup. I haven't had one now for years and years and years. But I had this pickup, and I liked the pickup. His instruction to me, rather than have fire come down from heaven, I want you to give him your pickup. Well, after wrestling with that one for a little while, I decided to go ahead and give it to him. And he said, look, I want you to wash it, wax it, clean it all up, fill it with gas first, and then give it to him. So I was going to take it down on Peoria. They got this wash, you know, where you can drive through, you know, you just give your vehicle to them and sit there on the bench while they take it through and do all that. I was already over there fixing to hand them the keys, and the Lord said, no, I told you to do it. I want you to wash it. I want you to wax it. I want you to clean it up. Armor all the tires. Get it nice. Then take it to him. God, can't we go back to the fire from heaven thing? And I did it. So then you're thinking, carnal mind, ah, well, God's got some great thing, and this will so affect the man. You know, we tend to think, do unto others, you know. Like Dave teaches, he says, well, I thought if I did unto others the way I wanted to be treated, that they would start treating me that way. He says, what I found out was, as I did more good to them, the more they searched in my back for a place where there wasn't already a knife. And God says, no, it's not that they'll treat you that way. He says, no, I'll treat you that way. So anyway, I didn't know all that then, so I'm thinking, okay, well, maybe this is it, and it's going to break down this problem, and we'll get along good. I take the title and keys to give to the guy. He won't even take them from me. He says, I don't want it. I don't want your truck. Get out of it. Just go away. So I said, well, God told me to give them to you anyway. Do what you want with it. And I just left. I'd already signed the title. Just left it and the keys on the thing. And got in my wife's car and away we went. Well, he wound up taking it. Now, see, as I look back on that situation now, there never was any great breakthrough between me and that guy. But God was trying to do some work in that guy. He was a good guy, really. He's in heaven. And see, the thing of it is, he's already gone on to be with the Lord now. As I look back on it now, I thank God that I didn't do anything to join in with the devil to try and bring more destruction to that guy than was already happening. I didn't do very much. I wasn't very far along the path. But I mean, I said a lot of things now that with my mouth. I did use my mouth partially to destroy him. I did. I wish I had that all back. I didn't know then what I know now. I'm more further along the line. Hopefully I'll do better when you try and hurt me. Hopefully. Hopefully I'm further down the road. But this is what it's all about, people. This whole kingdom is about saving lost people. Those are not normally the people that are treating you the best. They're hard to be around, abrasive, difficult. They're after your stuff a lot of times. And God's going, I need people in the image of my son that will lay down their life for that guy. That's why in this chastening and conforming bit, it's got everything to do with it. You're not going to get this kind of instruction from the world. The world's going to teach you how to defend your rights, stand up for what's yours, all of that kind of stuff, you know. Only from the Holy Ghost are you going to get the kind of teaching that's going to conform you to the image of Christ, where genuinely in your heart you'll lay down your life for that sinner. That right there is a miracle by God for that to happen to any human being. And he's calling every one of us to lay down our life. Really, just spend time with, if we spend time, you know what happens? Do you know if you spend time, and he can't make this decision for anybody. He will not violate your authority. Every day, every day, every day, it's your choice. You either prayed or you didn't pray. You either prayed or you didn't pray. He will never violate that authority. He'll never override your free will. But what he's saying is, if you will use your authority and say, Holy Spirit, I'm sitting down in the classroom. I'm just turning over this next hour to you. I don't even know what's wrong with me. Have at. I'm just going to pray in tongues and let you have at me. Here's the thing. If you consistently do that, you pass the responsibility from yourself over to him. See, if you do your part, you've passed the torch. It's his responsibility then to do the chastising, to do the correction, to tell you what's wrong, to start getting you on the right path. And then ball's back in your court. You're either going to do what he tells you, you're not going to do what he tells you, and he loves you anyway, and you're going to make heaven anyway. We're not talking about that. If the thief made it, you're going to make it. We're not talking about that. We're talking about becoming disciples. We're talking about liftoff. We're talking about liftoff. See, God has done the best he could with what he's had. He's had revivals mostly by the gifts through spiritual babies all these years. He's still doing it today. And when I say spiritual babies, I mean no disrespect. You read it yourself, though. The divorces and the church fights and the church splits and running off with the money. And God uses these people in miracles? Yes! It's all he's got. He's trying to save and heal and deliver and bless, so he uses what he's got. Spiritual babies, messy diapers and all. Does miracles to you. Go sell a prophecy afterwards for $300. He'll do another miracle through you. Why? Because you'll let him. But boy, what he's after in these last days is something a little beyond that. He is after sons and daughters who have allowed the Father to do the chastening and the correcting and the instructing so that we become partakers of his holiness, conform to the image of his Son, that we actually become looking like the ducks that we really are, if you'll allow me, the image of Jesus, and where he can have a revival, not based on the gifts, but because you're the sons and daughters through whom he can flow. Glory to God. Now, it's still him doing the works, just like Jesus said, it's not me, it's the Father in me. He's doing the works. But he also said, the devil's coming. He has nothing in me. See, that's the purging, isn't it? For us, that would be the purging. But looking unto, why does it start off looking unto Jesus if he's not the pattern that he's conforming us to? Purging. Chastening, instructing, tutoring. Thank God I think back, what if I'd have never discovered this church? And I read Hebrews 12, and I wouldn't have a clue how to let the Holy Spirit really start doing that. I wouldn't have a clue. We are privileged. We are accountable people to even know how to do this, and I'm not standing anywhere for any particular reason, but we are accountable. And I don't care if you're sitting here tonight. What was that dog that answered to the name of Lucky? You're sitting here tonight, you know, missing one leg, one eye gone, overweight, underweight, broke, in the middle of a lawsuit. I don't care how bad it is. Your problems are not bigger than the Holy Ghost. You got that right. He knows right where you are. He knows right where you need to be. And he'll take you step by step by step. And I believe he's calling all of us to that process this year. How many of you think this might be the year for liftoff? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. But how do you activate that? It's just a matter of it's that authority thing. See, the devil, his plan has been exposed. It's the devil of same old. Same old. Same old. See, right now, even I want to go pray. I've preached myself into prayer, I tell you. But tomorrow, same old. It's difficult. You know why they call it a rut is a grave with the ends kicked out of it. That's really what a rut is. It's real easy to stay in ruts. It's real difficult to climb out and establish a new pattern. That's what it's going to take. Don't let that devil of same old rob another week, another day, another month, another year. How many of you are going to pray a little bit more? Come on, lie about it anyway. Make me feel better. Come on. Let me know I did good. Come on. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. All right. Well, there's no kind of line to have for this because it's really your authority, you know. It's your decision. It's your decision. You're either going to let him have time with you or not let him have time with you. Myself, I've really come into that good place. We're not going to make it without following the Holy Ghost. So one more time, do it like this. Close your eyes. Remember what Jesus said? He says, I'm going to send you the Spirit of Truth. When He comes, He, personal pronoun, He is going to guide you into all truth. Symbolically, let's do it this way. Just hold out your hand. Say, Holy Spirit, I'm tired of trying to find my own way. I am putting my hand into your hand. Guide me into all truth. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah.